You're listening to Shared Security, a podcast that explores the bonds shared between people and technology. Hosted by Tom Esten, Scott Wright, and Kevin Johnson. Welcome to episode 316 of the Shared Security Podcast. And joining me this week is the one and only Jason Haddix. Welcome to the show, Jason.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so glad he is the one and only because I think the cybersecurity community would be overwhelmed with the goodness of two Jasons. It would destroy the earth.
Oh, man.
I'm all for cloning. If we need to clone Jason, I think
I don't
we can
know.
Do that.
I don't know. He is just... You know how you always say, he's a good guy, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's one of my favorite people that whatever. And I mean this. I want to be very clear. Jason is one of the primary reasons I am where I am today.
Nice. Wow.
Period. His friendship, his support, the ear he has been when I've had problems or whatever, he is a large part of my success. So,
yay.
Like I said right before we started, he is one of the few people that has actually shared a hotel room with me. And I don't remember why. We were at the Mobile Device Security Summit in Anaheim. Mm-hmm. I was the chair of the summit, which I always found funny because nobody sat on me. And Jason, I have people in the office now laughing at me. I don't remember why. I think Jason was one of the speakers I wanted at the conference, but I think that it was at last minute when he was able to go, if I remember correctly. Like he had to get approval or whatever. And by the time he needed the approval, I don't think there were any hotel rooms available.
Nope.
And because, so my scale, I've always explained to people, like there are people, like there's people I don't like. Okay. Like, and then like, There's scales of like, right? And there's like, okay, I'll see you at a conference and I'll shake your hand and say nice things to you, or I'll go to coffee or dinner with you, lunch with you. Then there's dinner. Then there's I'd invite you to my house. Then there's I'd let you watch my kids. And Jason clears the I'd let you watch my kids. And so, I mean, they're now 18 and 22 this year,
don't want to watch them now.
There wasn't even a thought process. Like, yeah, but I got two beds. You can, like, we're not going to snuggle.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, I've been in situations where I've snuggled before, so it's okay. It's okay in my book, but
It was, and like I said, it was just weird. It hit me. I don't know why I remembered it. I'm very like, don't come into my hotel room. This is my room. This is, you know.
You know, it's so funny because the way you talk about me is exactly, this is going to be like a little bit of a, like a love story thing at the beginning of your podcast, but the way you talk about me is exactly the way I feel about you. So when I was getting into InfoSec, there were a few people who just were the heroes back then. And it was you and Ed Skotus, and then Mubix was just starting to come up.
God, I love
Dan Kaminsky. Yeah. And, you know, when you're a young, impressionable, you know, 20 something getting into pen testing and AppSec, those were the people who were posting content. It was cutting edge. And the only place that you could find Kevin Johnson really was SANS. And so, you know, like I have so many like emotions from that time because I worked so hard to get into the work study program. And then just to get to see you and talk to you. And then I took your class after I had gotten to just sneak. It was great. I took your class and then I was one of those annoying students who was like, well, have you thought about this thing or have you tried this tool or how do you fit this into the methodology? And then, you know, like, I was like, oh, he's going to hate me because I'm just like raising my hand all the time and like, you know, like interrupting. And then you took everybody out to dinner and we had an amazing conversation. I remember you tried to jump over like one of those big Target balls and you hurt yourself in the middle of the night. Like you're trying to be cool and you tried to jump over. It was great. And you're like, I tricked my back. And I have so many great memories about the beginning of, you know, when I started to get to know you. And then over the years, it's been great. So, but yeah, I mean, you were one of the heroes and I learned so much and it was awesome.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go, good. I don't know.
Yeah.
I will say though, So I posted on Facebook and LinkedIn. I've been pretty open about this, that I had a rough time end of last year and I, you know, whatever. And we'll leave it at I'm no longer carrying. And we'll go from there. And I don't realize how many people I've impacted. And I don't mean that braggartly. I feel braggartly saying that. And I think it's very important that every one of us should be reaching out to the people that brought us to where we are.
Oh, yeah.
And make sure that we keep telling people. Because there's not a single one of us. Let's pick on Dan, right? Dan Kaminsky, I'm going to tear up right now because he's somebody I miss dear. I worry that Dan doesn't realize what impact he had. Right? And I know for a fact that the vast majority of our people in our field have impacted somebody. Every single one of us is doing stuff, and we need to make sure people know it because we all suck. That is awesome. That is awesome. Thank you. And for the record, I no longer teach at SANS. And for the record, I
go take the secure ideas training.
No, anti-siphon. John Strand's stuff Black Hills is doing, the stuff, and I'm biased. I'm part of it. You know, we do as well. And bluntly, every person listening to this should be signed up to your class. The stuff that's out there is amazing. I'm jumping. I'm sorry, Tom. I think, other than the fact that you just called me old, right? Because you heard it, right, guys?
Young
whippersnappers were going to get in the field. Those old fogies, Kevin Johnson and SCOTUS.
I said you were cutting edge.
I mean, In Guardians was the shit back then.
But you pointed out how young you were.
Well, you could have interpreted it as the wise elders, you know?
Something like that.
The old farts. So I think your path into things... And the stuff you've talked about is a good place. Tom, I'm sorry. I just hijacked what you're doing.
This is exactly where we're going.
You, and I know that you have the class. I don't remember the name of the class about building your brand. I don't know I can't remember the right phrasing of the title of that class, but building your brand. And I've watched you and I talked. I still remember when we were in Anaheim. Was it Brent Morris was the other guy that was hanging out with us. And I remember you talking then. About building brand and that was, holy geez, man, was that 15 years ago?
Yep. 2012, I think, because I was at that dinner with you guys, I remember.
Yeah.
Because I was TAing your class.
Yes.
542. Because I was on the path to be a SANS instructor to teach 542, and I ended up doing community SANS instead. Yep. But that's when I met you, Jason, as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
I forgot you were at the one with him. I forgot that, Tom. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think your path of how you've built publicly and privately is a good thing to talk about a little.
Yeah, actually, that's what I want to ask Jason. For those that don't know your story and how you got to where you're at today, maybe you could just summarize that journey for everyone, because I think it's really important. And we can also talk about your new adventure as well and how all of that has kind of led to where you're at today.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I've always been a computer kid, right? I think most of us, video game lover, nerd at heart. So, you know, I was always really interested in computers from, I think I got my first 486 at age 10, I think. And then I went to a book fair at my school and they had an MS-DOS mastery book or something like that. And so I was like, well, there's this whole level of the computer that I don't know. In the, you know, the command line scripting. And so I started learning DOS scripting and the Windows command line. And I've also been a hustler for my whole life. I mean, if I'm just being honest, right, I'm a hardworking, really hardworking hustler. And, you know, so when I got to, you know, my early 20s after high school, I was doing computer work just like as part of my own business, like computer repair. And I was working at CompUSA as a technician. And all of my friends were older than me. And so they were already going out to bars to drink. And so I wasn't able to go with them. And you know, they kind of ribbed me a little bit about it. And so eventually I went out to try to find a fake ID from one of my friends. And he was like, yeah, I can get you a fake ID. So I paid for it back then. It was a lot of money back then. It was like $100, which to a college kid is a big chunk of cash.
Hypothetically.
And so, hypothetically. I mean, the statute of limitations on this is so over, so it's fine.
Okay, good.
Yeah. But like, you know, I got one and then I got it and it was trash. The laminate was hazy. The hologram was horrible. The printing was bad. The edges weren't cut right. And so immediately, you know, I knew it was bad, but then I tried to use it anyway. And I got caught by a bouncer at this bar and he took it away from me and I was super embarrassed. And so I got a bug up my butt and I'm like, hey, I bet I'm a computer guy and I'm a hustler. I bet I could do this better. And so what I did was I started to go on to what back then was the beginnings of the dark web, but it was still clear web, right? It was still public. So Counterfeit Library, Shadow Crew, Carter's Market, these were like the early first forums that existed for carding and fake ID making and hackers. And the ecosystem is built like the hackers hack the websites, get the dumps. The ID makers make the ID because back then you had to cash out with a photo ID at a retail store. And then the carders would mint the cards and encode the dumps onto the cards. And so that was the ecosystem. And so I got into the fake ID part, learned how to make fake IDs really well, and got to start to know the other parts of the ecosystem and the hackers. And that was when web hacking was just starting to come out as a discipline. So like the heyday of Rainforest Puppy and Sigma Map, you know, cross-site scripting wasn't even out yet. And, you know, we were facing a lot of injection vulnerabilities. I mean, they were still Apache Zero days going around back then. So I learned about web hacking from some of them. And then the whole thing fell over. The Secret Service raided almost everybody at the high level of Shadow Crew and imprisoned them. So people that I knew. And, you know, they put this big picture on the website. They took over the site and they put this guy behind bars in the shadows. And it says, "We're coming for all of you." And I was like, and so like, you know that feeling like you guys get when you just like existential dread when you mess something up, right? Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
And it was like that times 10 and for a kid too. And I'm just freaking out. So I take all my printers, all my laminates, all my UV inks, you know, all my powders, all of the digital files, the hard drive from my computer, and I stuff it into a black trash bag and I put it in the back of my Civic. And I'm racing down the road, or racing down the freeway in California to go dump all of my stuff. And I call my girlfriend at the time and I'm like, hey, if you don't see me tomorrow, it's been great. I love you. You know, like, I'm just like, I'm freaked out. So on the way to dump all this stuff, I get pulled over for speeding. So I get pulled over for speeding and the cop comes up and he's like, do you know why I pulled you over? And I am so freaked out. I'm like, I think I was speeding. And he's like, yeah, you were gone pretty fast. And I was like, and the trash bag is not in actually my truck. It's in my back seat. So if he does any type of inspection, he's going to like, what is all this? You know? And so luckily he just gives me a ticket. I'm so freaked out. He gives me the tickets and I thank the cop. I'm like, thank you so much. Like,
for the ticket.
That's never good. You never thank the cop for the ticket.
No, never thank them.
Yeah.
I got it once because I thanked the cop. So he assumed something suspicious. Yeah. And so he searched at that point, and there may have been medieval weapons in the car. And
my goodness.
Separate story.
similar circumstances. Yeah. So then I got to the place, dumped all my stuff, burned it with lighter fluid, not lighter fluid, a barbecue lighter starter. Yeah. And then after that, I took a little bit of a few months break, but simultaneously I was going to community college in Santa Barbara. And my community college teacher was a Cisco networking instructor. And I had done a report on kind of like, there was like a free form report. And I talked about cybercrime and how modern hacking works with web applications. Like he's like, this is really in depth and really good. Did you know that you can do this for a career? And I was like, you're shitting me. Really? And he's like, yeah, it's called penetration testing. It's pretty new. I mean, it's only been out for about 5 or 6 years, you know, and, you know, like for a while, but I know some people who do it. You should check it out. And then that was at the point where I started doing all my own individual research. I found in Guardians and Kevin and Ed and Dan, you know, already names in the industry, started researching everything I could, being a part of every forum I could. And that was when I fell in love with offensive security. And so then from there, I had an IT job at the time, went to a small consulting as my first gig called Redspin, which was such a blessing because I managed to work with some amazing people there. Who later on became pillars of offensive security at different places. It was nuts. And then I happened to run into Dan Meisler at Black Hat, when we took Daffit Stutter's Web Application Hackers Live class, which he used to run at Black Hat Live.
Oh, yeah.
And I loved that course.
That was a great class.
And so it was an amazing class. And so I'm sitting there on the last day when you do the CTF, and, you know, Daffit's like, okay, well, you can do it by yourself or you can, you know, team up. And, you know, the guy who was sitting next to me, he was this Russian guy, and he was sharp. He was so smart. And he was already crushing the CTF leaderboard before we even started it. He had like 5 challenges done. And so I'm looking around and I'm like, well, who should I partner with? And there was this dude sitting behind me, and I look at his copy of the Web Application Hackers Handbook, and the binding is just creased everywhere. And I'm like, that's the guy I want to team with. And so I end up teaming with Daniel Miesler, and we crush it. We get second behind the Russian guy, which is great, respectable, right? Not bad. And then Dan, after the course, is like, hey, you want a job? I'm working at HP. I'm the head of consulting services at HP. We're looking for consultants. Do you want to do it? And I'm like, I kind of like my Redspin gig. My team's cool. I go back home. And as soon as I get home, Redspin's like, we've lost a whole bunch of clients because they wanted to rotate vendors.
Yep.
And we're putting everybody on work furlough, meaning that you get reduced hours and you don't get paid as much. And I was like, I walked out of the meeting so mad. I'd like invested my heart into this company. Yeah. And I called Dan. I'm like, hey, you're still looking for people? And he's like, yeah. So then I went to HP, was there for 5 years, eventually worked my way up to director of penetration testing, helping Dan lead the team. Left there, went to Bug Crowd because during my nighttime, I was participating in this new thing called Bug Bounty. And it was so new that there wasn't even a platform. They just email you and say, here's the target. Like, just go tag this target. And I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. Like, Casey... Done. Yeah, Casey back then, I knew him from cons. I was like, well, he wouldn't tell me to hack something unless he had some sort of permission. I'm like, yeah, so. Ended up doing really well in Bug Bounty, went to go work for Bug Crowd, filled several roles at Bug Crowd doing different things. Then left there to go to Ubisoft to be a CISO because I love gaming. Then left there to go back to Red Teaming, my first love. Did that for a year at Buttobot. And now I just started my own. So, yeah.
Wow.
That's cool.
Just an incredible journey. Yeah, Arcanum Security.
Arcanum.
Right?
Yeah,
Arcanum Security. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's important to say it because
Arcanum. Yeah. Yes. Arcanum. Yeah. If you're a fiction lover, the name comes out of a very popular fiction book called Name of the Wind. The Arcanum is the is the University of Magic in that book.
That is an excellent book.
Yeah.
Patrick nice. Rothfuss, right?
Rothfuss. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Are you tired of compromising on security when it comes to managed file transfer? Look no further. Meet Kiteworks, the most secure MFT on the market today. Kiteworks MFT suite is not just secure, it's FedRAMP moderate authorized by the Department of Defense since 2017. This means it undergoes yearly audits and continuous monitoring by certified third-party assessors. But that's not all. Kiteworks provides a world-class secure file sharing and email platform. Easy for end users, manageable for administrators. With custom integrations, unified console management, Kiteworks sets the bar high where traditional MFT servers fall short. Step into the future of secure managed file transfer with Kiteworks. Visit kiteworks.com to get started today. That's kiteworks.com to get started today.
You want your organization to be secure and compliant and to have a healthy culture, but your employees' lack of awareness makes you vulnerable to data theft, fraud, and compliance penalties. It's frustrating that the boring static training content that's being used today has failed to improve employees' ability to defend against cyber attacks. At ClickArmor, we know that without using gamification, it's extremely hard to get staff to understand how to avoid threats. Our gamified simulations and challenges have provided a 50% average improvement in thousands of employees' ability to spot phishing threats. Go to clickarmor.ca/sharedsecurity to get your free gamified phishing assessment for up to 500 employees. You'll see quickly how gamified simulations can help your team be more resilient and compliant and help avoid costly ransomware and fraud incidents. Let ClickArmor help you go from being an underappreciated, stressed out fall guy to being an innovative leader who's the catalyst for greater productivity in your organization.
So you mentioned your time at Bug Crowd, and I know you're still very much in the bug bounty space, doing a lot of training, education, and you're pretty much a well-known name in that sector. What's kind of your thoughts on the current state of bug bounty? Because I think I see it now as it's kind of evolved in a couple different directions in the last several years. I see a lot of bug bounty companies maybe acting more like consulting companies, right? Where they're transforming the way that they're doing crowdsourced testing and now offering it kind of like a traditional consulting firm is doing. Interested in your take on how the industry there is evolving and maybe what's next for bug bounty.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the value prop for bug bounty from a consumer point of view is still really strong, right? It's hard to get that many eyes on your application, whether, you know, you work with a consulting company or you don't on your public facing applications using any method. So I still think there's a tremendous amount of value in bug bounty that can be got. I think that it gives people who traditionally wouldn't have a consulting job access to be a career hacker, especially in developing countries. Or even in our country, if you want to hustle really hard, you can be a full-time bug hunter. And I know several of them who do really well. I think that, yes, the bug bounty companies, they had bug bounty, but they kind of hit the mark a little bit before the market was able to really understand how integral of a part it was to, a holistic security program. And so they pivoted backwards. All the platforms pivoted backwards to being like, okay, let's go back to like these like pen test things, because everybody knows the word pen test or red team or whatever, and all the marketing around all the services and offensive security are just jacked up. But so they went back, and the other thing was they were also struggling to prove coverage, right? So one of the things that you need for compliance is coverage of methodology, coverage of, you know, did they look at this thing? You want to know people hit certain things, and you don't necessarily get that with bug bounty all the time, right? You get a whole bunch of people who are specialists and will do a few things. And in the aggregate, they do provide coverage, but it's hard to prove that. And so when they pivoted to the pen test models, they could provide a methodology to certain testers who were already pen testers during their day job. And they could do those. And for pen testers who do have day jobs, it was, I mean, to be honest, it was easy money, right? It's like, how hard is it to throw another pen test on the pile? And like, you know, like it's pretty easy for a lot of people to moonlight, and they didn't have the opportunity to moonlight because you have to set up NDAs and contracts with your moonlighting consultancy. And then what if your real job finds out? And with the bug bounty platforms, it's so easy. You just sign an online NDA and you get started. And as long as you're good, you keep on getting these contracts and you get paid less than a consultancy would pay you to moonlight, but you get more of them in aggregate. And so it kind of worked for a few years, this pen testy service that they're offering. Now I think it's pivoting back to actually people being ready to consume the bug bounty model in a public bug bounty or even a private bug bounty, because the analytics show that more eyes means better volumes on an application. So that's kind of the state of the world right now. I'm also a big proponent of the live hacking events they do, where they really put a lot of money into like a big event and someone markets the hell out of the event and you get some of the best hackers in the world. I got to tell you guys, like I'm friends with some of the bug hunters. And they get a little bit of hate from the pen test community sometimes, but they are the smartest guys I have ever met. They're some of the best hackers I've ever met. And when you get them together for these live events, I have never felt anything like that other than being at DEFCON CTF. Like wow. The amount of brain in that room, the collaboration to hack one thing, the vibe, it is fantastic. I've been to a few. I ran some at Bug Crowd. I've been to some of Hacker One's. Integrity has them now, but the live events, I've never seen that much value either. Given, like, I was thinking about the customer where I went to it. I was like, okay, so they paid, you know, maybe they paid all out 200, you know, something to the platform to host the live event. And then they paid another 300 in rewards or 400 rewards. So that's a lot of money for a company. Yeah. But the type of companies that are provisioning these things are big companies. They can afford that budget. You know, they spend that much on E5, right? So it's fine, right? And the value they got, how many critical vulns they found in their applications was just crazy. So I love the live event kind of way things are going too. I hope the platforms continue to invest in those. Yeah, so that's kind of how I feel that the industry sits right now.
I'll tell you, as one of the pen testers who has publicly professed, as you referred to it, hatred toward bug bounty people.
Yeah.
I think the problem is an overloaded term. I agree 100% with what you just said. Everything that just came out of your mouth about bug bounties, I agree with. The problem is, from the outside, is that most people, myself included, don't see the good bug bounty people.
Yeah.
We see the people trolling websites and sending
yes.
like the sheer point. Number of, hey, you're yeah. clickjacking on your login page.
Yes.
that I get.
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I've seen you talk about it before for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah. And that's what I say is like, I want to be clear. I like the idea of the live events, the really good bug bounty people, the people who I think the key thing that you kind of about you, and I think it's important for everybody else, is hustle. And, you know, this is not the boomer pull yourself up by your bootstraps, you know, phrases. This is for you to move forward and be good at this, you have to make an effort to get there.
Yeah.
Like, you made the crack about yourself being the annoying student that's raising your hand. And the funny thing is, that's not annoying. Because what that shows, as the instructor, as the person standing at the front of the room, if you were asking stupid questions, and the people who say there are no such thing as dumb questions are so wrong, it's not even funny. But there are absolutely dumb questions. But if you're asking questions that are actually showing a drive for knowledge, an effort to understand, hey, let's explore how this fits, that is the drive you need to have. And to be successful at any of this, whether it's, you know, Tom's path of running the team that he runs, or Scott's of running his own company and building it up, or yours of the weird stuff you've done over years, right? It all boils down to every single person could do it if they sat down, did it.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the stuff that you've talked about before, like the bug bounty part of the industry, that's what the internal people call it, the bug bounty, is a product of giving a new work avenue to a lot of people who, you know, are looking for some quick wins, you know, and have a little bit of computer knowledge. And so they just go out and scan everyone and submit a report, and they're not really specialists. And that does exist. And to be fair, I don't really mind those people. I think that it's okay. I actually hate the term bug bounty, even though it's been coined by kind of the occurred, because those, you know, at some point we were those people. We were Nessus monkeys, right? We didn't know anything. Like, we were scanning things with Nessus and then reading the report and being like, how does this work? Right. Yeah. So like, as long as they don't stay in that lane for too long, I think that there is a path to learning for people who are very new getting into it. The problem is the spam that it creates for legitimate programs. And I think that's the responsibility of the platform is to reduce the spam.
Yeah. But that spam, I'm not even talking about the platform, because I'll be blunt. Secure Ideas is not part of a platform.
Yeah, yeah. Right. You just get emails, right?
I just get emails. And every single time we get them, every single time, I'm polite with my first answer.
Yeah, yeah.
And my first answer is doing, in my opinion, what you just said. It's trying to provide knowledge. Okay, you're telling me this is a flaw. Can you explain to me, based on this understanding of this flaw, and I define the flaw, like, okay, you said it's this. This is what this means. Why is that exploitable? Let me work with you on this, right?
Yeah.
And the few of them that then write back and say something reasonable, like, okay, I didn't understand that. What about that? I've given people seats in our classes so that they can learn this stuff, because I agree with you. We need education. It's the people who then say, no, I told you. It's, you're vulnerable. I got that.
Just take it.
Sorry, man, but I know what that vuln means.
And
I will never claim we're not vulnerable to stuff, but I will tell you, I don't think we're vulnerable to what you're saying.
I don't have great answers to that part.
Right?
I think it's just a product of what the beast has created.
Yeah.
I do think that more good comes out of bug bounty than bad, though, these
days. Absolutely.
I think that the people are a lot more secure. I think that there's hackers that we never would have seen enter this field, write amazing tools, you know, publish methodology, do things that we never had saw. In fact, the the open source tooling that has come out of Bug Bounty has led the way for pen testers for the last 10 years. Yeah. So I really like those parts. I really believe in it. Could there be some tweaking? Yeah, for sure. But I still participate. You know, I'm still bug bounty hunting and teaching about methods. But, you know, I have pivoted to talking more about how my methods are useful for offensive security in general, rather than just like being strictly bug bounty, I think. So,
well, this has been an absolute pleasure, Jason, having you on the show. How can our listeners find out more about you and everything you got going on?
Yeah, absolutely. So the new company is Arcanum Information Security. It is www.arcanum-sec.com. We don't really have like a standard website set up yet. We're getting all that ready. It's pretty new. But our flagship thing right now is our training, the Bug Hunters Methodology Live. You can find the link on there. It's for offensive security practitioners. And then if you just want to follow kind of my musings about offensive security or video games or whatever, you can follow me at jhaddix on X/Twitter. So that's kind of where I spend most of my time.
Awesome. And we'll have all of that for our listeners in the show notes. So again, Jason, thank you. It's been awesome. We'll, of course, always be chatting. I know all of us will on the socials. So we will see you again, I'm sure. But until next time, thanks for listening, everyone. And stay safe, stay secure, and stay private.
Thanks for watching or listening to this episode. Please subscribe wherever you like to listen to podcasts and visit us at sharedsecurity.net or on X at SharedSec. If you'd like to help support the podcast and get early access to new episodes with no ads, plus many more exclusive benefits, become an official supporter of the podcast for only $5 a month. Visit sharedsecurity.net/supporter for more details.